Today, as we get into the Word, if you're a follower of Christ, as Mark shared earlier, right, we have a great hope beyond this life. And it's so much for us to look forward to. That is, as we talk about heaven, and we've done Bible study about heaven on Wednesday morning, and all the stuff we've been through, I'm like, I still don't even get heaven. Right? Of all the things that I do know, I just got to believe that there's so much more, that it's so much greater than what we can even imagine. No matter how much detail you're given, I think we're going to get there and be shocked. I think we're going to get there and just be completely in awe of what heaven really looks like. And if you can think back to maybe times as a kid, where your parents were going to take you somewhere that you've never been before. If you think about something like Holiday World, to me, Holiday World was like almost a fictional place, right? Because we didn't have the money to do that kind of stuff. And friends would go to Holiday World, and they'd tell me all about it. And to me, it was almost like not a real place. And so when we were getting ready to go there, I remember my parents telling me about it, and the friends telling me the rides and the games and the food and the water slides and all these things that you'd get to do there, and it was exciting. I was pumped for it, this place that I've never been. Now, how was I picturing that in my mind? I was taking the limited knowledge I was giving, and I was creating something from my experiences and my imagination, and I would picture it. And kind of think, this is what I'm looking forward to. Now, whether I got there and it matched that or not is a whole different thing, but you kind of build up this picture of, like, this is what I'm going to see one day. It's what I'm going to experience. But often it would be months away. And so I'm picturing this for 2 or 3 months, right? We're going to go this summer. Well, if you tell a kid that right now, tell your kids you're going to go somewhere in June or July, listen, you're going to hear about it from the end of February, all the way till June or July. They're going to be talking about it and building it up and thinking about what it's going to be. And while it's months away, as you have this expectation and you have this excitement and you have this image of what is to come, guess what? In the meantime, they still got to do chores. In the meantime, they still got to go to school. In the meantime, things happen in life. They still may get sick or they may get injured while they're playing and, you know, diving off the top of the monkey bars or whatever wild things kids do. They might still have to put up with bullies at school or, teachers who maybe aren't fair or all the things that they might have to deal with, all the things that kids have to deal with, you know, just life. That while they have this thing they're anticipating, they're excited for, they also have to live life along the way as they wait. This is the life of Christians today, right? We have this promise. We have this hope one day. We have this description in these scriptures and this understanding of what we think heaven's going to look like. And hopefully you've got that image in your mind. Hopefully you've imagined what you think heaven is going to look like and you're looking forward to that day. But until then, life goes on, right? We still have to live this life, the good of it and the bad of it still will go on, and we've got to live day by day as we wait for that exciting hope and future and promise. And so today we're going to look at this in the scripture. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be in verses 16 through 18. And it says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, Paul writes this as a man who writes this message that's really about strength and about perseverance. He writes it as a man who had been through a lot. He writes it as a man who had been through about every bad scenario that you could possibly imagine a man going through at that day and age. Paul had lived it, and he'd gone through it. And we talk about Paul's conversion, and in this conversion of this man who was so bad, who was killing Christians and trying to, and by his own words, he was trying to destroy the church. And he thought he was serving God, and he was doing so wrong. But we see how Jesus could save Paul, and he could change Paul. And we believe that if he could do that for Paul, he could surely do that for us, right? He could surely do that for me. He could surely do that for you, no matter what we've done. And it's the same Paul that was the worst of the worst before Jesus. He's the man who faced probably the most adversity after Jesus. You remember when Paul was called, and when Jesus was laying out to Ananias, like, this is what's going to happen with this guy, and he's going to come to you, and you're going to have to pray for him so he receives his sight. And Ananias is kind of like, I don't think so, man. I don't want anything to do with this guy. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake, right? He's like, you know, Paul is going to go through a lot of stuff in his serving of the kingdom. And so Paul had served the Lord through so much adversity. He faced pains and problems and trials and tribulations that are probably beyond any person could ever imagine. And his response to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, just a few verses up from what we're looking at today, he kind of lays it out for us like this is something the church needs to be reminded of. He says that while we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. See, in all the things that Paul had gone through, he still somehow has his eyes on heaven. He still somehow, and that's what precedes our text in verse 16 is really about how, listen, been through a lot of stuff, but we're not defeated. We got the hope of heaven. And he keeps his eye on heaven and says, therefore, right? Because of that, because of what we have to look forward to, we do not lose heart. You notice he didn't say, I don't lose heart. He's not saying Paul doesn't lose heart. And he's not just saying you don't lose heart like it's something for you to do. He's saying we. People who have a hope of heaven, listen, there's something that we don't do. We don't lose heart. That's not for us. That's for somebody else. He says, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Think about the fact that we don't lose heart. When he says this is something we don't do, you might think, man, he doesn't know me very well because I lose heart. Right? We think about that, the term to lose heart, we think about it as, man, sometimes I get exhausted, right? I'm weary from what I've been through, what I've had to see and do and work through. But this word means something a lot stronger than just to be weary or exhausted or tired. It means to be utterly spiritless. And so while you may be in a position in your life sometimes where you feel like I've got nothing left. And you think, I really don't. I can't, I've got nothing else to give. I'm just done. I'm just gonna take my lumps and see what happens because I don't have anything. Listen, you might feel like that mentally and emotionally, but listen, here's something that you're not. If you're born again, you are not spiritless. You're not spiritless. And that's why Paul says with this confidence, we don't lose heart. Like, whatever you go through in life, you are not spiritless if you're born again. You're just not. Why? Because we have the hope of heaven. Like, no matter what we're going through, we still have the promise. No matter what life looks like, no matter what we're dealing with, we're not completely defeated in spirit. You might feel like it, but you're not. Right? I mean, isn't that part of life is us getting to the maturity in our faith that we realize that what I feel is not necessarily what is true. Right? What I feel is not necessarily what is true. Now listen, I realize that that's hard to break sometimes, but it's all the more reason that we need the body of Christ, right? To help us remember what is true, to help us to believe what the Word says. That's the truth, right? If you've got the Holy Spirit within you, you're not spiritually defeated. And he says, even though, right? I know because everybody's got the but. You got the exception. But what about this? And he says, even though the outward man is perishing, we still don't lose heart, right? Even though people are dying in body, right? This body that we live in, we have to face the reality that the arc of life is not what it seems, right? We take this picture of life as like this because you start out as a baby, right? And you get to whatever the peak is. I'm 45, so we'll say the peak is 50 or something. I still got a little room to grow to get. I haven't hit my peak yet, so I'm assuming it's coming, right? Okay, so we start out as a baby. We picture this arc of we get to the peak position, age, you know, of life, and then it starts to go down as we get older, and then that's the end of life. That's the way we picture life, is like an arc like that. But I would suggest to you that that's not at all what the arc of life is like. I believe it starts right here at the moment you're born, and it goes like this. Now, you might be like, that is not very encouraging, Pastor. I don't think I like that arc of life. But I really believe that it starts up here and it goes down from there. Why? Because the body is dying as soon as it's born. Right? We see it growing and maturing and changing and then, you know, starting to get older and we start to see the breakdown. But I'm saying we all have a clock that starts ticking the moment that we're born. Right? We're all on borrowed time. I think about this time when I went to the doctor, and some of you have heard this before, but when I went to the doctor, I was just about to turn 40, and so I went in for some kind of physical ailment that I had, and my doctor, she's retired, but I loved her. She was the best doctor because she didn't sugarcoat anything. She just told me how it was, and that's what I liked about her. And I walked in there, and she said, Tim, have you been working out? And I felt a little bit puffed up. I think I probably like straightened up a little bit, you know, put my shoulders back, and I was like, wow, she thinks I've been working out? Like, I must look pretty good today. Like, something's going well for Tim today. And, you know, I probably got a little bit puffed up, and, you know, just proudly was like, nope. And she said, well, you should be. You're getting ready to turn 40, and it all goes downhill from there. And I thought, well, that was kind of deflating, you know. I thought I just looked buff, you know, like I'd been working out. But really, if she said it all goes downhill from there, I believe that's wrong because I believe it starts going downhill the day that you're born. It's just the fact of what the body goes through in life. The clock starts ticking. The outward man is perishing. It is dying. But Paul says, even though the outward man is perishing, I'm going to tell you, we still don't lose heart. This is the hard part of life. It's the part that gets people down when we begin to look at the physical things in our life. We get to begin to look at age. You know how great life would probably be if we just threw out age? Nobody ever talked about how old they were, because sometimes we get stuck on that. Because I'm a certain age, this or that. Man, God can use a baby. God can use, you know, a 100-year-old person, and God can use everything in between. I really believe that with all my heart. Like, there's no age limitation to what God can do and who he can use. That's part of why we talk about, like, when we send the kids out of here, man, we're believing God's going to use them today. I don't believe we're sending them out to get prepared to be used one day in the future. I believe we're sending them out to be prepared to be used right now, today. I'm believing that in their classes that they're going to pray for things and God's going to move and they're going to see things happen. Amen? And so when we consider the fact that in light of the reality that this body is dying, no matter how good it looks, no matter how good a shape you're in, it's just the fact of the matter of where we're at, how does Paul take that and he still encourages us to be strong. Don't lose heart. Continue to have your eyes on heaven. Well, he tells us what the positive is. He says that yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Forget about the outward man. Forget about the dying body and all the suffering and all the things that are breaking down and not working well. Forget about that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to everybody, okay? But the inward man, what really matters, is being renewed day by day. Listen, not week by week, not month by month, not year by year, but day by day. How many of you feel renewed day by day? Sometimes. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you do. You know, I know for most people you're like, I don't feel like I've just been on this pinnacle and my inner man is just day by day, man, I'm just better and better. Like, I'm doing great. Hallelujah. It's never had a bad day. But listen, again, this isn't about what we feel. This is about what the Word says. It's about the truth of the Word of God. And he says the inward man is, everybody say is. It is being renewed day by day. Now you might look at your life and say, well, I have evidence to prove otherwise. Right? That my inward man doesn't seem to be renewed day by day. I don't seem to be on this constant incline, but again, it's not what you feel, it's what the Word says. And he says he is being renewed day by day. That does not mean that every night when you go to sleep, you wake up and you're like, man, today's better than yesterday and better than yesterday and a continual thing. What he means by renewed, when you look at that word, it means to grow up, but not just to grow up, it means to grow up and get stronger. So the inner man grows up and gets stronger day by day. It doesn't say perfect. It doesn't say every day is always better than the previous day. What it says is that every day you will grow up a little bit, some days maybe a lot, but you will also get stronger. I thought of this morning when I was praying over this. You know, there's a lot of us that we don't want to grow up, right? I go back to being a kid and watching TV, right? I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid. I started thinking of that song, you know. I don't want to grow up, and even if I did, I want to be a Toys R Us kid. It's like, even if I do grow up, sometimes I don't really want to because of the responsibility that takes. But listen, our body is dying, but our soul is getting stronger and maturing day by day. You know, you can't always see the growth or the change day by day, but that doesn't mean that it's not happening. See, we like to be, we're results-oriented people. We're like, if I can see that something's changing, then I'll buy the message that it changes. But if I don't see it, then I don't believe it. Listen, that's not what the Word of God tells us to do. So we're supposed to be people who believe in what we don't see. We're supposed to be people that just believe the truth. And then if we get to see it also, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's great. But listen, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Ephesians 3:16 tells us how this happens. He says that he, Jesus, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, listen to this, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Jesus would grant you this. Jesus would grant you the ability to be strengthened by might through his Spirit in your inner man. Listen, when you think you can't take it anymore, you feel like you're tired, you're exhausted, you're not spiritless. The Holy Spirit is within you, and it's the Holy Spirit that will strengthen you with might. Everybody say might. Now, it doesn't mean he might do it. He's talking about a power in this word might. This Greek word that, if you've been around very long, you've probably heard me say it before, but it's dunamis power. This Greek word is dunamis. And this speaks to a power to work miracles. Right? When we sing about the power of God, we sing about there's power in the name of Jesus. What are we singing? We're singing that there's a dunamis in the name of Jesus, that there's power to work miracles in the name of Jesus. Right? There's power to work miracles. Why? Because it's God Almighty, His Spirit, that works the miracles. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, He comes out of that. And if you guys remember how He comes out, if you've ever fasted for even a few days, you come out usually pretty weak physically. But you don't usually come out very weak spiritually. And Jesus comes out of this wilderness experience, and it says that He came out with power. And it's that same dunamis power. The power of the Holy Spirit within Him was so great, He went straight to ministry. You think, I'm going straight to the buffet. I'm going to tell you from experience, if you fast for a few days, do not go eat greasy food. It's not a good outcome. I went straight to Joe's one time, and it was a very bad experience for me that almost traumatized me, okay? Eat something, some bread, get some stuff in you. But you think about this fact that He comes out with power, and He goes straight to ministry. It doesn't even say, I don't know when He ate. I don't know when He ate. I don't know if one of the disciples handed Him a piece of bread on the way or what, but He came out in the power of God and went to minister. And again, the woman who came with a need, this issue of blood, this woman that comes and touches the hem of His robe, what did He say when He turned around? He said, "Who touched me?" Why did He say that? He said, "I felt power, dunamis, depart from me." I felt power, the power of God, the power to work miracles, the power of God Almighty by His Spirit. I felt it go out of me. And that's what the woman received that brought the miracle into her life. The promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus tells them of the promise of the Father, and if you'll go and you'll tarry and you'll wait, right, the Helper is going to come. And He says that when you receive Him, you will receive dunamis, power to be a witness, right? The power of God. Some of you are like, man, I can never witness to people. I can never talk to somebody about my faith. I'm afraid to do it and this and that. Listen, I'm talking about a power where God gives you the ability to do what you normally can't do. He gives you the ability to talk with power. Listen, it doesn't mean yelling. I talk loud. I pray loud. I'm going to tell you, I've heard, especially on Thursday nights when we meet for prayer, I've heard some of the sweetest, softest prayers that you can feel the power of God in. It's not about tone of voice. It's not about loud. It's about the power of His presence. Amen? That's the dunamis power. That's what Jesus does. And this outward man may be perishing, but listen, your inward man is growing up and getting stronger day by day. How? By dunamis power. By the miracle working power of God in you. Listen, all the New Age stuff about finding the power within, right? Just, you'll find the power within yourself. Listen, that's all hogwash. There's only one way to find power within yourself that does anything good, and that's being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and having the power of the Holy Ghost in you. Dunamis power. Miracle-working power. One that doesn't just make you feel good in your mind, but one that can actually do something not only for your physical body, but for your soul that is eternal, that will live forever somewhere. There's going to be people living in hell, and they're not going to be able to find some power within to make them feel good about it when that time comes if they don't know Jesus. I mean, I realize that's a hard thing to say in here, but it's a reality, church. It's about the dunamis power. And because of that, because if you're born again and you have this within you, Paul says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This light affliction that is for a moment. Now, if you're struggling with something in your life, I want you to hear this. At the moment, when you're dealing with what you're dealing with, it may not seem light, and it may last a long time. Like, that's not what Paul's saying here. He's not promising you that what you're dealing with is no big deal. He's not promising you that it's just for a moment, like, don't worry, tomorrow it'll be gone. He's not giving any kind of false promise like those things. And because we sometimes believe that that's what it says, we can come to a place where we're like, ah, I don't buy that. That's not for me. That must be for somebody else, or it was for that day and age back then. But I believe when you understand what the Scripture is actually saying, it gives us freedom. I believe when we understand what the Scripture is saying, it gives us relief and great hope. What this does not mean is that your issue is no big deal and it's going to be gone quickly. It might be. I'm just telling you that's not what this verse is saying. What it does mean is that the weight of your issue may seem monumental. It might seem heavy. It might seem burdensome, but that is temporary. The way that you feel about what you're going through as a child of God, the weightiness of it, listen, that is temporary because of the dunamis power. Because the dunamis power will make that light. And the dunamis power will make that light in a moment. See, when we give it to the Lord and we trust Him and allow Him to work, right? Jesus gives us a promise. He tells us, if we give Him our burdens, that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Right? You guys remember that? He's told us that. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Well, why is that? Well, it's easy and light because, listen, He's doing the heavy lifting and He's carrying the bulk of the weight. That's the promise that we have. And listen, your issue might still remain, but if you have the dunamis power within you, you can trust that He's still working and you can find peace right in the midst of it all. Right in the middle of all of it. It can be light, just like that. Not that it's gone, not that it's not a big deal, but listen, if God is present and God is involved in it, to Him, it is light, and it is for but a moment. For Him, it really is not that big of a deal because He has the power to see you through. And He says, out of that, it's working for us. Hear this for a second, that your light momentary affliction, however bad it may seem, it's working for us. Your affliction is actually working for you a more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. The future glory you will experience far outweighs the suffering that you have to deal with in life. It far outweighs. In Romans 8:18, Paul said, "For I consider," see, he considers, he's thinking about him, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." See, he says, "I've been thinking about," you know, it's like Paul's getting real with us. "I've been thinking about the stuff that we go through in life, the things that we deal with in the present time, and the conclusion he's come to, man, they're not even worthy to be compared. Not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us." He's saying, man, those things, we shouldn't even give them the time of day because we should be looking to heaven. Those things are light and momentary because of the dunamis power. And they don't even compare to the weightiness. Listen, this is what ought to be heavy. The weightiness of the glory that will be revealed in us. The greatness of God in us, through us, and for us. Right? What Jesus is working in your life is leading you to a future that nothing else can compare to. Now, listen, you might be, again, if you're in that moment where the thing is heavy in your life, you might just have a goal of, man, I just want to get through it. But I want to tell you that God wants more for you than just to get through your affliction. He wants more than that for you, church. He wants something that is greater for you, an eternal weight of glory, to know Him, to trust in His plan for your hope, your future to come. And then He tells us in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we look at spiritual endurance is based on our ability to look beyond the physical to the spiritual, to be able to look past what we're seeing, what we're dealing with. It's based on the ability to look beyond the present to the future. It's this ability to look beyond the visible to the invisible. That's spiritual endurance. That's what gets us through, is saying, I'm not just going to stand here and be weighed down by what I see in front of me. I refuse to. You know why? Because what God has for me is greater. What He has for me is greater. You look past what is temporary, what is perishing, what belongs to the world, and you look to the things that are not seen, because that's what's eternal. That's the thing that matters. We typically look at bodies to judge a condition of a person. Well, they're really healthy, right? They're in great shape. You go to the gym, you can find people that look healthy all day long. But are they? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. What I know is that they're in a body. They're in a body that's perishing, no matter how good it looks. But it's the inner man that's important. It's the inner man that tells the real health of a person is, do they know the Lord or do they not? The Lord often works in the unseen before we ever see anything in the seen. He often works in the unseen. That's where He's working. And then, eventually, again, we may see something produced from that. The things that are seen are just the evidence that He was already present and that He was already working. Do you guys realize that? What we see manifest and result and show up in front of us, when we say, look at what God has done, and we look at the finished product, it's just proof that He was already there in a way that we couldn't see, that He was present and that He was working. We have to go day by day. While our eyes on what is to come, listen, our feet have to move right here and right now. That's the responsibility we have. Eyes toward heaven, but listen, our feet got to move right here and right now. If you picture a runner as he runs the race, they don't run looking at their feet, do they? They don't run looking down. If you try running looking down, eventually you're going to fall. Eventually you're not going to make it. Eventually you're going to be picking yourself up out of the dirt. Runners don't look at their feet as they fall. What do they look to? The finish. They look to the goal. They look to, where am I going? And while I'm looking out there at the finish line, at the same time, my feet are moving. I'm going stride by stride, and I'm headed toward the prize. Listen, your outward man may be perishing, but the inward man, the inner man, church, he is being renewed day by day. If the Spirit of God is in you, church, you have dunamis power. I'm talking about miracle working power. The power to overcome. Listen, sometimes there's things in life that we get to the point where we're like, I can't. And that's okay. In fact, I think that God sometimes wants us to come to that place where we say, I can't. Because He wants us to realize our need for His power and His presence in our life. that we can say, I can't, but He can. That's that dunamis power. This power to make things light. This power to look to the unseen. This power just to believe that Jesus is present and working. So the question for us is, can we trust Him in that way day by day? Can you trust Him, church, to work in your life and to grow you up spiritually, to strengthen you, strengthen your soul, to be able to handle the things that this broken down world throws our way? Would you stand with me this morning? As we close in worship, we want to open up the altar and give opportunity for prayer this morning. I think God's shown us through the songs that we've sang, through the testimonies that have been given, through the word that was preached, through the prayers that were prayed, He's showed us today, over and over and over, that if we have faith, He has the power. I believe He's shown us over and over, like, hey, I'm here, I'm present, and I've got what you need. Now, will you believe me for it? And so that's going to be my challenge for you today, is to believe God for what it is that you need in your life. And if you feel so moved to come forward and have somebody pray with you, listen, don't leave here without the opportunity for getting prayer. When we were leaving the journal group on Tuesday night, I had talked with Donald and Skyler about some things for a while, and we were headed toward the door whenever she said, Grayson, do you want Pastor Tim to pray for you? And he said, yes. Right? That was him. That was his desire, was to receive prayer. He was like, hey, I've heard about this. I believe it. Let's do it. And sometimes it takes us to not just have somebody that's willing, because there's probably somebody willing in the very row that you're in to pray for you. And God will work through them just as well as He would work through me or anybody else if they got faith. That's all it takes. And so this morning, if God moves upon your heart, get prayer. Come down, lay things at the altar. Or you can seek Him right where you're at, but I just want you to listen to His voice. And don't worry about what other people are doing or thinking. Believe that what you need today, that God has the power to do it. Do you have the faith to receive it? Father, we thank You for this moment right here. This moment where as we worship King Jesus, that God, we believe that You are here, that You are present, that You are willing, that You are able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we can ask or think of. But I pray that we would have the boldness and the obedience to ask for what we do know, to ask for what we do desire, that You are a God who, as we seek You in spirit and in truth, that You'll give us the desires of our heart, and that You are a healer and a deliverer and a restorer and a redeemer and a savior. And God, You can do so much more than what we even realize that what we need. We just surrender it all to You right now, and we say, Holy Spirit, we welcome the dunamis power into this place right now. We welcome the dunamis power into each of our lives, that God, You can do anything. We receive that by faith today. Will You give us the boldness to respond to Your voice? In Jesus' name, amen.